This is part two of the interview with Wayne Salmons. You do something called a video email. What is that?
You know, that's something that's really made it. I think I also got that from Bruce Hardy maybe a year or two ago. And video email is the way we were finding that we're sending all these emails to our leads and to our database, but how can we build a relationship with them? And it really hit me about 2 years ago. I did a video about, you know, why you should go to Mega Camp in Austin for Keller Williams. And a lot of people watched that video. But then when I was there, a lot of people, I felt recognized. It felt like we had a relationship. You know, they'd walk up and say, hey, Wayne, you know, that was a great video, whatever. And at that moment, I kind of realized, wow, this video thing really works. There's really something to this. And after that, I stepped it up. So when if you're a buyer, you know, you signed onto our website, I've called you, I can't reach you on the first couple calls, I'll send a video email and I'll say, you know, hey, Mike, this is Wayne Salmons. I saw that you're on the website. The house on Cherry is still available. I think they're about to drop the price. You know, what do you think about going and seeing it this weekend? But it doesn't matter what I say, but because if you get a video from me, all of a sudden we're building a relationship. And there's such a stronger rapport now that you've actually seen my face and I've talked to you. And what I asked myself was, how many emails and direct mails would I have to send someone before they felt like we had a relationship? Before, you know, if we met at Walmart, they would shake my hand. And I felt like after one or two videos, we have that relationship was there. It was amazing the difference between, you know, just an email as opposed to like a video email where I say your name, which is the most important word, and tell you that I'm here to help you.
How do you produce the video?
Well, there's several different ways I do it. For my Boomtown leads or buyer leads, I'll just do what's called iJot. And iJot, just a website. And the reason I like iJot is it's free, which I love. So it doesn't matter how many I send a month. It's not costing me anything. And two, it kind of keeps a record of all my videos. So I go onto iJot.com. I record a quick video and send it right off to them. There's no editing or anything.
Do you have a camera that you had to buy or using the little camera in your computer?
I have a little, you know, little cheap USB camera that I bought for, you know, $50 or something like that. That works wonderful. That, you know, it's just a little, you know, laptop camera.
So you stand in front of it and talk into the computer, and you're looking in the machine as though you're looking at them. You get all dressed up. Do you have something behind you that's some kind of scenery? How are you setting that up?
What I found is the more casual and real, the better with these videos. So in other words, I don't try to make a big production of it. I'm usually just sitting at my desk. You know, sometimes I even have my headset on for making phone calls or whatever, but I just sit here and I say, you know, hey, John, and I'm usually dressed as I dress for work. You know, I don't do anything special. And I say, hey, John, you know, I was just sitting here. I saw these items on the website, you know, yesterday. I really want to get this information to you. You know, whatever I say, but it's just a quick, you know, 10, 20 second video, and it goes right out to them. And the thing I like about iJot is it doesn't let me edit. So I don't sit here and tweak it until I look pretty. A lot of times I don't even review it because I hate seeing myself on camera. So I just do a quick video and send it off to them.
How long is that message? Is it typically a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes?
It's usually 20 seconds. Just a quick, hey, this is Wayne. You know, I saw you looking at houses. You know, when can we go look? And I really want to get this report to you. You know, would you be offended if I emailed it to you? You know, whatever that is, it's just a quick little conversation with them.
Then on iJot, you type in a quick email message. It connects the video somehow to that email. Is it a link?
It's just a link, so they're not downloading a video, which is really helpful. It just pops, you know, on their email. It shows, you know, kind of a screenshot of the video and says, hey, you know, you've received a private message from Wayne Salmons. They click it and it starts to play. So it takes them to the server and starts to play it, I guess.
So it plays on someone else's server, kind of like a YouTube.
Exactly. Yeah. But the nice thing about iJot is I'm not saving anything. So it's not like I'm doing it on my computer, saving it and then sending it as a file. It's a lot quicker than that.
And you could see the stats as to whether they've reviewed that or not, whether they've watched the video?
Correct. Yeah. Yep.
What percentage of the people watch the video?
Almost everyone. The only ones that really don't get watched are when they're not a legit email. So I would say that 80% of them get watched.
How many of those are you sending out a day?
There are people that I haven't contacted. It would just take too much time if I sent them to everyone. So usually I only send them to someone who's been on the site at least once. Maybe they've come back at least twice. And I know that they have a valid email address. So I haven't been able to reach them. It's been a couple of days. They have a valid email address, and I really think that I want to connect with these people. So I'm sending maybe 5 to 10 a day, somewhere along that line. It's not any more than that.
Do you feel that is speeding up the reaction back for that lead to contact you or to touch base with you?
Yeah, it's kind of my last hurrah, if that makes sense. So in other words, you know, getting them on the phone is always the best because I can interact with them. If I can't reach them by phone or by email, sending that video is kind of my last thing. And it's just creating really good relationships and a lot better turnaround.
Do you use this type of communication with people that are either a stronger lead or a current client or customer?
Typically not. No, it's just too time consuming. I'd rather just have them on the phone.
So this is just to spark someone's interest and get them to contact you.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, you know, if they're an internet lead, you know, and I wasn't able to get a hold of them right away, they probably had 4 or 5 other agents send them something, you know, and, you know, they probably emailed them or trying to get a hold of them. So how do I separate myself from the 4 or 5 other people that are maybe trying to reach them?
Once that lead comes in, you want to capture that lead and start working with it. Are you doing that with some type of manual system or electronic system?
The leads are all managed through the back-end database of Boomtown right now.
You mentioned Top Producer as well. So are you using 2 systems? The leads are coming in and you're keeping those in Boomtown. And when they become clients, they go into Top Producer?
Yeah, all the leads, especially my buyer leads, are all addressed through Boomtown just because it's a superior system. And Top Producer really just works as my database. And that's where I send through my monthly emails and things like that, my mail outs and that. I don't use Top Producer to its full capacity by any means.
You mentioned you have a database of 5,000, 5,500?
Yeah.
And is that all being kept in Top Producer?
It is, yeah.
How many leads do you have in Boomtown?
Yeah, I've got about 1,600 actives in Boomtown. A lot of those are, you know, nurtures and watches, which is how I qualify them. So a lot of them are ways out or they're just looking. So, you know, a lot of those are just kind of, they're getting the weekly emails through Boomtown. They're looking at houses, you know, every once in a while, but they're not really solid. So right now in Boomtown, I have 57 hot leads, which are, there's 57 people right now in my Boomtown system that I feel and they've told me are ready to write, you know, an offer here, you know, in the next 30 days or as soon as I can find them something that's acceptable to them they're looking for.
What moves somebody from the Boomtown list to the Top Producer list?
Everybody gets put in Top Producer as long as I haven't trashed them. As long as it's a legit lead with a name and an email, they'll eventually get put in top Producer as one of my unmets if I haven't made touch with them.
So the 1,600 in Boomtown, they're duplicated. They're already in Top Producer.
Correct, yeah.
You like to use Boomtown to do your follow-up as a better system for you.
Right, yeah.
Top Producer is where you'll do your weekly follow-up, and that's kind of standardized, and that's why you put them in there as well.
Right, yeah. So that's for my long-term, you know, my long-term touches.
Let's talk about sellers. How many listings do you currently have?
Right now, not many. I have, I think, 15 active listings right now.
What is your number one source for seller leads?
Seller leads would be probably my database and the cold calls through presumably owners and expires.
Sellers have a lot of options in the market today. Why would a seller hire you? What is your competitive advantage?
I think the real competitive advantage is mindset, which I know kind of sounds a little funny, but really expressing, they've typically talked to people in the market that are saying, you know, the market's horrible, we're all going down, nothing's selling. So really getting in front of them with the stats and saying, hey, look, stuff is selling. And just kind of giving them a positive take on the market and say, hey, look, if we price right, we're going to sell within 98% of your list price or 99% of your list price. And just being really, just showing them that I'm excited about selling their house and then showing them that I have a plan. You know, say, hey, you know, we're going to list it, you know, on these different websites. We're going to push it hard to realtors. You know, just I think that excitement and showing them that I'm pushing it really hard at where buyers are makes a big impact on them.
Positive message.
Exactly, yeah, which I think is a little underrated. You know, there's a lot of realtors that go in and say, well, you know, I hope we can sell this. You know, the market's tanked out, which is really not true, but that's kind of the perception.
Who's setting your listing appointments? You're setting the listing appointment, correct?
Correct, yeah.
How long are you setting that for? What amount of time are you trying to block out?
If it's a referral, a lot of times I don't even go on the appointment. If it's someone that, you know, if it's a for sale owner or an expired, I'll go, and I'll typically spend, you know, half an hour to 40 minutes there.
You mentioned if it's a referral, you might not even go. Does that mean that you're doing your listing presentation over the phone?
Yeah, typically. So usually if it's a referral, they're already sold on me. So I don't have to go into as much detail as I would with, you know, for sale or expired. So I kind of walk them through what we're going to do, what our sales have been, you know, what our success has been. I'll email them my, you know, pre-listing packet. And then the thing I really push hard is we have basically every home we list, we have staged. So I lean really heavy on my stager to do a lot of that work that I would have done in the past. So the stager is the one that actually goes through and says, you know, hey, we need to do this, we need to do this, we need to do this. They're the one really having that conversation on what we need to do to get the home sellable.
Who is paying for the stager?
I typically pay for the stager actually right now. She gives me a great deal. So it's she only charges me about $50 each time she goes, and she charges every other realtor $150 or something like that. But I have a good deal from her because I basically got her kind of into the business. So she goes out, and for $50, it's the best $50 I ever spent. And she goes, and she'll spend an hour at the house walking me through. And then when she's done, she'll email me and the seller a list of kind of what they talked about and what needs to be done. And that list is great. You know, I mean, that list is really valuable.
2 weeks or 3 weeks down the road, if the home hasn't sold, we haven't had any offers, I can say, hey, maybe it's time for us to address some of the stuff you didn't do, the stager suggested we address.
Let's go back for a minute. You mentioned you send out a pre-listing package.
Right, yep.
What's in that package?
You know, in the pre-listing package, it basically walks them, it, you know, validifies me, so it says, you know, who I am, what I've done, what our sales are. Talks them through our plan. You know, these are the different marketing avenues we do. You know, Craigslist, websites, you know, emailing to other realtors, all the stuff that we do. Then it walks into the process of selling. You know, once we get an offer, here's what we need to do. Has suggestions in there what they can do to get their home in top condition. You know, clean the windows, carpet the floors. You know, all that kind of stuff. And then it goes into how to price a home. So there's a lot of pretty pictures in there for most people that tells them, you know, the buyers don't care that you replaced the furnace. They don't care that, you know, you had to fix the roof. You know, here's what buyers care about and why we need to price right. Walks them through, you know, the most important thing is getting it priced right off the bat, why we shouldn't wait 2 months to get the price where it needs to be. And then it goes all the way down to, you know, it goes through all of that, goes to what they can experience. And at the end, it actually asks for, you know, a referral.
When you go out on the appointment, do you use a canned or standard listing presentation?
Yeah, I have about a 20-page presentation that I walk through and then leave with them.
You mentioned you're only going to be there 30, 40 minutes. Are you trying to get the listing signed at that appointment?
Typically, yeah. Or typically I've had it, you know, I've DocuSigned the paperwork before, so they've had a chance to look at it, and they've either signed it already or they're going to, you know, click on it right after we leave. But oftentimes, I mean, our paperwork here isn't real, real extensive. So I'll have them sign a few pages as we wrap things up.
You mentioned DocuSign. Are you trying to get them to sign on their computer while you're there, or are you doing this with manual paper as well?
I'll do it both ways, depending on the age of the clients and how I feel what's going to work best for them. Preferably, I've sent the paperwork before I even show up, and they've DocuSigned it before I even get there.
That makes it easy.
Yeah.
When you say that, are you talking about those referral appointments, the people that already know you?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that typically is with referrals. You know, if it's a cold appointment, you know, it's usually hard paperwork.
Okay, like a for sale by owner and expired, you'll sit down and chat with them for a while longer. You'll have to convince them that you're the right agent.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you handle a price objection from a seller? You say the home is worth $200 and the seller says, I want $275.
If they're super unrealistic, you know, and I can't convince them, I just won't take the listing. But typically what I'll do is I'll just say, you know, hey, you've been looking for other houses. And they say, yeah, you know, when the sellers were moving to Arizona, I'll say, okay, so how do you look for other houses? And how do you determine which ones you want to make an offer on? And then they tell me, you know, well, hey, you know, we've been looking at houses, and, you know, after we look at five or six, we kind of get an idea of what they're worth and things like that. And I say, okay, well, you need to understand that that's what buyers are doing to your house. They're looking online before they ever get to your front door to determine if your home is worth what you're asking for or not. So here are the comparables that I've pulled that show, you know, the other four or five houses we're competing with. And as you've seen by the graphs we've just gone over, we need to be priced at or below what these are at. So we basically look at what the other homes are at, and then that's where the reality kind of sets in. And I kind of say, you know, why would you be willing to pay more for your home than this one that's the exact same price, the exact same age, you know, and priced $10,000 less than what you guys want to get? So it kind of sinks in at that point that they need to price correctly, because I've kind of given them the mindset of they're the buyer, you know, because they've been looking at homes and they understand what's there.
How do you handle commission objections?
What I found was originally commission was always an issue. Every time I went to a listing appointment, commission was an issue. And I was like, it's killing me to have this conversation over and over and over. What I found was I was insecure about the commission. So almost subconsciously, I was bringing it into the conversation, if that makes sense. I was saying, this is the commission, and almost flinching, waiting for them to respond with, oh, that's too much. You know. So I realized that I was creating the issue. And when I didn't make a big deal about it, people didn't care. So that's typically we don't have the conversation, because unless I bring it up, you know, unless I kind of make it a deal, they don't care. The other thing is I just say, hey, look, what you really want is to net the most amount of money. And they say, yeah, that's what we want. And I say, you know, would you trust me with your money if I was willing to give away my commission that I've worked hard for right off the bat? And they say no. And I say, well, that's how I'm going to negotiate for your money, just like it was my money. You know, I'm not going to cut my commission, because I'm going to fight hard to get you the most money for your house that we can in this market, just like I would not give up my commission, because that's the money I take home to my family. If they push even after that, I walk in and I say, these are the things we're going to do to sell our house. If we reduce our commission, what would you like us to not do? Because it's all cost us money. And they say, oh, we want everything. And I say, okay.
Let's talk about your buyers for a minute. How many buyers are you currently working with?
In the system, you know, like I said, I have about 60 buyers that are kind of in there. I'm usually working only with, you know, maybe five or six that are real kind of ready to go at a time. You know, so usually I'm calling all these, usually I'm of these 60 buyer leads, I'm calling them, you know, once every other week at least. And I'm usually actively out searching with maybe five or six a week.
Why would a buyer hire you? What is your competitive advantage?
You know, I think the big advantage is when I walk them through that buyer representation agreement, I say, hey, look, I'm going to commit to you 100%, whether this takes a week or 6 months to find you the right house. And then I also tell them, hey, look, I built homes for several years, and I really know what goes into a home. So once we've looked at homes and we kind of have questions about, you know, foundation and roofing and things like that, I'm going to be able to give you a good sense of what's going on with that house, whereas, you know, a lot of agents aren't. And then also, you know, last year, you know, I sold 100 homes, where most agents only sell, you know, 2 to 3 homes in a year. So I really know what's going on in the market. So I'm going to make sure we don't pay a penny more for this house than we need to, or that the market's going to bear.
And you do set an appointment to sit down and chat with them before you'll go out and show them homes. What's going on in that buyer presentation?
In that presentation, basically we sit down and I walk them all the way through my buyer packet. And it's really important for me to do that. And my conversion rate, you know, once I get a buyer to sit down with me, it's, you know, we're done. You know, there's a commitment there. Whereas in the past, if I was just kind of working with somebody every once in a while, we'd meet at a house, look at it, there was no commitment. So I really sit down with them. We walk all the way through the buyer packet, and it talks about, you know, obviously, again, it talks about, you know, who I am, what I've done in the past. It has a bunch of, you know, testimonials in there. You know, this is what other people's experiences are. We walk all the way through the process. So we walk through, you know, finding a realtor, you know, analyzing your needs, obtaining financing, viewing properties, you know, all the way through to here's when you get the keys. You know, we talk about pre-qualification. We talk about what not to do. You know, don't go buy a truck while we're looking at houses. Don't buy any furniture. None of that stuff. We talk through that. We talk about what to consider in a neighborhood, all those kinds of things. And then at the end of that packet is where I say, now look, you know, once you walk through all this, you know, I can't work with every buyer in the market. So what I choose to do is work with a limited number of buyers that are going to commit to me just like I'm going to commit to them. So, you know, 24 hours a day, I'm going to be looking for the right house for you guys, and I need you guys to commit to me with the same kind of commitment I'm going to give to you. So we walk through what I'm going to commit to them and what they're going to commit to me, and then we have them sign a buyer loyalty agreement at that point.
They don't sign a buyer agency, they sign a buyer loyalty agreement?
Basically, I don't use the standard form, you know, that we get through our forms from the MLS. I kind of made my own buyer loyalty agreement. It's a little bit more casual, it's a little less intimidating, and it just kind of says, you know, this is what we're going to do, and this is what it takes to, you know, terminate this. and I say, hey, you know, you can terminate this at any time. All you need to do is call me or email me and tell me why you no longer want to work with me. Give us the chance to have a conversation before you would go and hire another realtor, because you're hiring me right now.
So it's a little softer sell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Currently, do you have a team?
I do not right now. I do not. It is Wayne all by himself right now.
Last year, did you have a team?
Last year, I had one full-time buyer's agent. And then through part of the year, I had someone that I was training into being a buyer's agent, but they never actually, you know, came to fruition.
And how many transactions did you close last year?
Last year, we closed 92 transactions.
Wow, you closed 92 transactions with you and one buyer agent.
Yep.
How did you do that?
a lot of long nights. No, I mean, I think the biggest thing was just systems, you know, having checklists for everything and, you know, just doing it one at a time.
What happened? What happened between last year and this year that changed your concept of a team?
Well, this year I had some really dramatic changes in my life. At the beginning of this year, I went through a divorce. And that was something, I mean, you know, I had always heard about people talk about going through divorce, and they said, you know, it was so tough, and, you know, my life kind of went upside down, and I, you know, dropped the ball here and this, and, you know, they kind of talked about how hard it was. And I always kind of looked at those people and kind of thought, oh, well, whatever, you know, if I ever go through that, I'll be fine. And when I was going through my divorce, it was really horrendous, and I did not expect it to be that rough, basically. And I did. I dropped the ball in my business. I dropped the ball with my builders. I went through a really, really rough time, and basically the wheels came off. And at the same time, you know, the market was having a big change, so it was really a kind of almost a devastating time for me as I went through that.
So you kind of fell into a depression.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And I went into basically, you know, I mean, yeah, a full-on depression while at the same time fighting for, you know, my kids and what I've kind of built up. And I really, I mean, there's nobody to blame except for me. I really dropped the ball on my business. And what happened during that time was my number one buyer's agent, my one buyer's agent, had really built a better relationship with my builder than I had, because I was working hard, you know, getting the leads, putting the business together, all this kind of stuff. But my buyer's agent was the one that was having all this FaceTime with my builder, if that makes sense. So really, you know, my builder saw my buyer's agent as the one that was generating all this business, when really it was kind of me doing all the, you know, all the SEO and all the advertising, all, you know, all the stuff to generate these buyers. But yet they were the one that was having the face-to-face time with my builder. So when I went through my rough time and I wasn't returning phone calls, and I mean, I really dropped the ball, they had that relationship. My builder basically hired that person full time, and they left my team. And with that, you know, took his, you know, 40 listings with them and that business. That was a real big deal to me. I think, you know, the biggest thing I learned, you know, about my builder in that time was how important it is that I maintain that relationship, you know. How important is that I have my team thing? Wayne asked me to do this. Wayne wanted me to call you. Wayne needs to review this file. You know, having them keep inserting that this is a team, and that, you know, who's, you know, kind of who's the boss.
How many closings have you had this year so far?
This year we've only had 35 closings so far.
That's still a pretty good year, especially working on your own.
It's nowhere where we wanted to be, and, you know, really, you know, during that time, I dropped the ball on everything, and it was a real, you know, real poor decision on my part. You know, so going through the divorce, my father had a stroke, lost the builder, you know, all this kind of stuff is happening. So really, just for the past couple months is when I've really started to kind of reinventing myself and having to learn how to do, you know, business basically differently than I did before.
How did you do that? How did you pick yourself up and move forward?
Well, I have a couple of good people in my life that kind of, you know, said, you know, we support you, we know you can do this, you're, you know, it kind of just that theme song in the back of my head. You know, and I had some good friends that kind of gave me some motivation. But really, I think for me, it was, I mean, first of all, I didn't get back up near as fast as I wanted to. But I think, you know, Diana Kokoska says motion before emotion. And a lot of it was just doing what I knew I needed to do, even though I didn't feel like doing it. You know, so making the calls, even though I felt like I didn't want to do it, and doing those kinds of things. And then really going back to what you know, my big why. Why am I doing this? Why do I want to make money? Why do I want to build a successful team? And that was really important for me, going back to, okay, I'm doing this for, you know, for my kids, for the legacy I want to leave, for the life I want to have, all that kind of stuff. So that was huge. So, you know, making my dream board, having that in front of me to look at every day and saying, this is why I'm doing this.
You just started taking action. That must have been difficult in the beginning. Did you set yourself a goal that you would make X number of calls, or how did you do it?
I think what I did was I just kind of sat down and evaluated what I had to do and what I would kind of do every day. And that was, call the expireds, call the for sale by owners, call through my database. You know, that was kind of the basics of it. You know, it's just make those calls every single day.
Do you have any other advice for anybody who might be experiencing a similar thing where they've been knocked down for one reason or another? Anything else you could tell them to get back up?
I think the big thing is, you know, for me, it was really just writing out, you know, kind of my goals and, you know, who I was, you know, affirmations. You know, I kind of took everything and put it together. But, you know, writing out my affirmations, my goals, you know, my past successes, that was important for me. You know, my girlfriend tells me every day, you know, you were a rock star. You know, you can do this. So, you know, that was really important to me to kind of be able to focus on, okay, you know, I have done this. I have closed, you know, 100 houses a year, you know, basically by myself. I can do this. You know, kind of building my self-confidence back up was really important. So getting people around me that were going to support me and doing it was really huge. And then I think, you know, like we talked about, just doing it, I think, was the most important thing. You know, you've got to just say, you know, I'm going to be happy with myself if I do these 5 things every day. You know, and I know I'm just going to do these 5 things every day. And if it takes me an hour, then great. And I feel okay with myself. If it takes me 5 hours, I still feel, you know, it's kind of that goal to meet every day. These are the things I'm going to do because I know if I do them every day, the business is going to be there.
In that goal setting process, have you set yourself some big goals?
Absolutely. You know, my goal for this year is to close, you know, another, I think we're at 25 houses for the rest of the year, which we'll get to for sure. And then, you know, for next year, it's back up to, you know, building my team correct this time and, you know, getting back to over 100. And then within the next 3 years, my coach and I have set a goal of doing 70 million by the, within the next 3 years. You know, at year 3, we'll be doing 70 million that year.
Why did you pick 70 million?
I don't know. That's just the number. That's the number that I've always kind of been striving for. So that's where we'll get. That's the next step.
Did you mention that you have a coach?
I do. I've had a couple coaches in the past, and right now I have basically two, kind of a coach and a mentor. The two people that I kind of go back and forth to is Wes Madden, who is one of that realtor up north who's now doing 100 million a year. I work a lot with him, and he kind of says, you know, do this and this and this. And then Tony DiCello, who is a coach with Keller Williams with MAPS Coaching, is kind of my mentor and coach as well. And we talk, you know, a couple times a week, and he continues to kick my butt and get me back on my goals.
Do you think that was helpful this year to have those coaches around while you were going through these challenges?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think that was really important. One of the most devastating things was one of the coaches I had had in the past, basically, it was really important for him to continue to look good, and he basically dropped me at that point when I was kind of going through these struggles. So that was a real devastating thing to me. So I had to go out and basically find new people, new coaches that would, you know, kind of believe in me and push me along. Because that was really important for me, was to having some kind of accountability and at the same time someone that says, you know, you can do this.
So these two gentlemen, your coach and your mentor, Wes and Tony, they came on this year?
Correct, yeah. Yep. Within the last couple months here.
What drives you?
You know, I think what really drives me is my long-term goal. And the best exercise I ever did was I had a coach who I was at a time in my life where I was really struggling. I was basically on the phone saying, you know, I don't know if I can do this. You know, I mean, I was almost in tears saying, I don't know how to keep going on. You know what I mean? I'm broke. This is devastating. How do I do this? And he said, okay, I want you to sit down. I want you to write 2 letters, basically to myself. And this was probably the most impacting exercise I've ever done. And he sent me out. You know, I basically went away for an afternoon. I wrote these 2 letters. And one letter was, what does my life look like if I succeed? you know, hey, if I do, you know, a couple $100 million a year in sales, what does that look like? And it was exciting. You know, it's like, it was, you know, I have these, you know, I finally have rental properties. You know, I'm taking great care of my kids. I have the house I want. I'm doing the relief work I want. You know, I'm making the impact I want. And it was, you know, kind of a nice bubbly letter. And, you know, this is the car I'm driving. You know, it was kind of an exciting letter to write. And then the next letter I wrote was, if I don't succeed, if I don't, you know, do what I'm supposed to do every day, if I fail, if I give up, what does that look like? And I wrote that letter, and I was literally in tears as I wrote that letter, and I said, this is what it means to my kids if I fail. This is the life they have if I don't succeed. You know, if I go back to framing or back to something I know, they don't go to this college. You know, they don't have this life. I'm not able to impact, you know, these people in Africa or in a third world country that I want to help. I'm not able to do this and this and this. And I wrote that letter, and I was really detailed in what my life would look like if I gave up and who that would impact and how devastating that would be on the lives that I, you know, hope to impact. And that letter was huge for me. It really, you know, pulled at my heart and gave me the motivation to, you know, basically, I'm not giving up. I cannot do this to myself and to my kids and to all these people. I've got to continue going on.
Wayne, why are you successful?
Well, I'm definitely not the smartest kid on the block, and I don't get things as fast as everybody. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is I listen. You know, when someone says something, I listen to it. I'm very quick to implement. And, you know, I just don't give up. You know, I read that book, you know, Talent is Not Enough. And it was kind of inspiring to me because I knew that I was, you know, that I could do this. I just knew that I wasn't the most talented person in the world. And when I read that book, you know, basically it said, work hard enough, focus enough, you know, just keep doing it and you'll be successful.
Wayne, if you were to advise a brand new agent just getting in the business, what would you tell them to do first?
So a couple things I would do is, one, I would go shadow, you know, find somebody that could teach me and find someone that I could shadow. So, you know, getting a coach right off the bat and going to see someone successful would probably be the most important thing. Number two, you know, really sitting down and saying, these are the 5 or 10 things I'm going to do every week, no matter what, to be successful. So not getting lost in trying to do, you know, the new thing of the week every week, but really saying, these are the 10 things I'm going to do every week to be successful. And then, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about your database. So, you know, feed your database every day and take care of it. Ben Kinney said this a couple weeks ago. He said, knock on 50 doors, call 50 people from the phone book, and write 500 emails. Try to get 1,500 people to say no to you. So, you know, basically, you know, keep doing it, and you'll get there.
Well, Wayne, you've kept going, even through personal hardship. You're an inspiration to anyone who's experienced personal trauma. You've bounced back, refocused your business, and you used positive emotion to create positive emotion. You've shown your flexibility and willingness to try new business models. Your tenacious ability to follow up with leads and your mastery of scripts and dialogues assures your future success. Thank you again for being our Rising Agent of the Month.
You've been listening to the Mastermind Agent Interview of the Month Club, where top agents, rising agents, team members, and guests from across North America reveal their success secrets, strategies, and systems in up-close and personal interviews. You can find all the club interviews at www.mastermindagent.com.